Good evening. This coming week's parasha is parashas Vayikra. But besides being parashas Vayikra, it's really Erech Purim. And so I decided to give a share on Megillas Esther. But I will begin with something from the Gerida parasha as an introduction to our share in Megillas Esther. In this week's parasha, the Torah tells us, Ki kosa v'chol dvash, that it's forbidden to bring tzar, which is yeast, or dvash, which is honey, forbidden to bring that on the mizbeach. And the Farshim say that tzar is what represents gaiva. In other words, matzahs don't have in them tzar, so they don't rise, but challah, bread, gets blown up. That's only because the tzar that's inside. So tzar represents gaiva, and dvash, which is one of the sweetest things on earth, represents taiva. So the Torah tells us when you bring a carbon you have to come to hachna. The purpose of a carbon, the morale says, is to show that we believe in the oneness of the Eibishter, that everything belongs to the Eibishter, everything is dependent in the Eibishter. When we bring a carbon, we're giving something, but we're supposed to recognize we're returning something. Like the Mishnah tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Ten loy mishaloy sha'ata v'shalcha shaloy. Ben B'chaya writes in Parshas Yisroi on the pasuk l'sasin iti alihei chesav alihei zahav, that iti means when a person is standing shmenesra, that's when a person is oimed with Hashem. The rest of davening is all to lead up to tefillah, which is shmenesra, which that's amidah with Hashem, and then you're not allowed to walk in front of the person that's davening. Ben B'chaya says as much as a person living in this world realizes he's wealthy. He has investments, he has certain things that give him a sense of security. When you're standing Shmanes, or you're standing in front of the Eibishter, everything should be lost because it's the Eibishter. The Eibishter is behind everything, it's all the Eibishter. So maybe that's why Sassan, when you eat, you shouldn't feel comfortable and feel you're relying on all those gashmias, the things that you have, because everything is the Eibishter. So that's the one that you're supposed to feel that you're relying on. And that's what a person's supposed to feel when he brings a carbon. So there's no place for a person to be hoary, to be a balgaiva. And at the same time, there's no place for a person to be involved in taiva, which also means the person is involved just with himself. And if you think about it, the Megillah, Achashverosh's downfall was his taiva. And what he planned to do by the Suda had to do with his taiva. And in the end, that's why Vashti got killed. And the same thing when it came to Haman, what's Becholzer and Anishavuli, because one person wasn't bowing down to him, even though everybody else gave him that respect. He couldn't tolerate that. That had to do with Haman's gaiva. The first Perek in Megillas Esther basically tells us, describes Suda Achashverosh, tells us about the fact that Vashti got punished, got killed, and also about the fact that Achashverosh gave out a new rule. The Perek begins by he b'mei Achashverosh. If the purpose is telling us chronologically when this took place, who Achashverosh hamelech mahoideh v'ad kush doesn't tell us chronologically when b'mei Achashverosh took place. So obviously, the pasuk is coming to tell us something else completely. The pasuk is trying to explain to us, how come is it that Klal Yisrael sins? We know one of the reasons Rashi brings later on, where they were punished, like the Gemara tells us, Shanan and Yisudis Achashverosh. How does it come that Klal Yisrael should enjoy Yisudis Achashverosh? Maybe they felt compelled they have to go there, but they definitely shouldn't have been comfortable over the Achashverosh, put on big day kuhuna, and he served on Caleb the Caleb Mishainim, and the atmosphere of Suda Achashverosh was the marshal them business. How could they enjoy such a Suda? This has to do because they were living b'mei Achashverosh. This is what Achashverosh was all about, like we see from the party, and now they're only from the party, but afterwards, when they were choosing a second queen, the way it went about how to find a new wife for Achashverosh, so we see what type of a person Achashverosh was, and that had an influence, and it influenced Klal Yisrael also, and therefore they lost their madrega, and they were, so to say, to a certain extent, on the level of being known as Misudis Achashverosh. This is similar, which is the Negeya, what we'll speak about later on, all sorts of this. The Shimon Schwab said when they asked him if they should vote for Clinton, who was running his first term for president, or they should run for Bush Sr., who was the incumbent. And the reason why people were leaning towards Clinton, because they felt that for Eretz Yisrael, it'll be better if Clinton becomes president. The Democrats were more pro-Israel at that time. So Shimon Schwab said, like Melachim the son, B'yad Hashem, what's Negeya nationally or internationally, what the president is going to decide, that's all. That's all up to the Eidishta. But on a personal level, the Democrats are Mishchasim. Clinton is especially a Mishchis. Klai is all going to suffer emotionally. They're going to become more emotionally not what they were till now. And they're going to lose out in their Madrega. So it's better that Bush should become president. And we know what happened at the end with Clinton. So that's what the Torah is telling us over here, was B'meach HaShverish, and therefore it had this negative effect on Klal Yisrael. Like we said, the capital ends with Vashti was killed, and then HaShverish gave out this rule of Lias Kalishtar in Reis and Medaber Kilshoyin Amoy. So, hi, what's Negeya to tell us that? Why do we have to know that this rule was given out? What is this Negeya? Chassam Sofer writes in the Drasha that in Megillah Fest, everything which is mentioned has to do with the Nisim, the story, and the Klal Yisrael with Zoicha in those times. So what's Negeya to tell us this? So it's interesting that Esther, we find later on by the end of the first Suda, she asked to have a second Suda, and Achashverosh and Haman should participate. And then she's going to do Umocha Esther Kidva HaMelech. Should say Kiratzen HaMelech, or say Kidva HaMelech. Smashma from Rashi over there, and that's the loss of Kidva HaMelech, that Achashverosh asked almost every day, where do you come from? And she didn't respond, because Mordechai said not to tell Achashverosh where she comes from. So here, she is not listening to the rule, the new rule of Lias Kalishtar Beisei, and it's not Stam, it's the Melech himself was asking her, and she's not obeying the wishes of the Melech, and that's Umoch HaSeh Kedva HaMelech, what the Melech is talking to me about tomorrow, I will give a response to that. And she wasn't punished, different than Vashti, she wasn't punished, so that was the Chayu HaShgacha practice, that was the Nes, and the Melech, therefore the Torah, in the Megillah mentions to us to know that this rule was established and she didn't obey this rule and nevertheless she wasn't punished. In the second capital, it speaks about the fact that Achashverosh regretted what happened to Vashti, Zochras Vashti, and how she was punished. Came up with a new Eitzah, how to find a new queen. And in the end, Vayavis Esther Mikol Hapsulis, it was Esther found the most favor in his eyes. And at the end, it finishes off with the Maisa of Dixon Viserys. So it's interesting, it's unbelievable that Ashkacha Pratis, you see the nest, that Achashverosh couldn't find out where Esther comes from. I mean, Hitler, Yimach Shemai, was able to figure out if someone's great-grandfather was a Jew, his descendants were Jewish. He was able to figure out everybody where they came from. And here Achashverosh, who's Moilech Mahayda V'yad Kush, is not able to figure out where Esther comes from. Besides that, obviously, and Chassam Sofer speaks about in the Drasha, that even the Yiddish ladies, Rachmana Litzlan, were dressed priestistic because of the influence of Vashti, and the Goyim were definitely dressed like that. Esther Vada was dressed differently, and Esther brought a message from Mordechai, so it shouldn't have been too difficult the way she behaved, the way she spoke. He should have been able to recognize that she's Jewish and she's not from the Goyish nations, and nevertheless, he didn't figure that out. That's an S. That's an S Nista, but it's definitely an S, and the purpose of that S was, without that, it never would have happened to Xavier of Haman, because if Haman would have realized that Esther Amalka is Mizera HaYehudim, and Mordechai is her uncle, he wouldn't have been able to do whatever he wanted to do. So in order for the Xavier to happen, and at the end, in order for the Yeshua to happen, it was necessary that nobody finds out that where Esther comes from, and this Lamaisa was a necessary ness. Rashi tells us also that Mordechai used to come to see Uma Yasaba even before she became queen, while she was still by Haggai. And Rashi tells us that Mordechai was one of the two people who was given the remnant up front how Yeshua is going to come about. Because Mordechai said it can't be that this tzaddikus, like we said, she obviously must have behaved like a tzaddikus, like we said, that was a mess that didn't realize, can't be that she should have to go and live together with this Aryeh, if not that the Eibishter wants to bring about some sort of Yeshua through her. But the obvious question is, but why Taka, which is true like we know in the end, but why did it have to come about in such a way that she had to go through living and living together under such circumstances? So I think that was the lesson for Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael should be able to know then and to know that even if we're living amongst the Goyim, we shouldn't be affected by them. We shouldn't learn from them. It shouldn't be Niskayim enough by Sava by Goyim by Yomudu Masayim. But we'll take a lesson from Esther, and that Zicha had Hashpah, that even though she was living with a Goyish husband who was a Melech, nevertheless she remained the Tzadeikis that she was. And I think a raya to this is from the fact that Rashi tells us this already on the Pasuk Yud Aleph, which speaks about before she became the Malka. But even before she became the Malka, that was also a major Nisayan. Here, Hagar was telling her what to do in order to impress Achashverosh, in order to be able to become the Malka. And she had to listen to him to a certain extent, only in a limited way did she fulfill whatever he told her to do. And all of that you see, that she was working on making sure not to be affected by her environment. And the next Perek in Perek Gimel, so it tells us that that he was made Haman, gave him a high position, he became Mishnah Melech, and everybody bowed down to Haman, but Mordechai didn't bow down, and Haman got very upset about this. He made a pur, which landed on Yud Gimel Adar, and he went to Achashverosh to be able to get permission, to be able to make this Kzeri Rahman son to kill out Klal Yisrael, and it was written and it was signed, the Tabas HaMelech, which Achashverosh had given over. The Rashi tells us, Achad Bar Me'ela, which most of us were in after the Mice of Vixen, the Sharish, that the Eibishter made before Kaidim Lamaka. And so, in other words, the fact that Mordechai told Esther that Vixen the Sharish are planning to poison to kill the king, so, and she said it's over B'Shein Mordechai, and the Me'ela was written in the Sefer HaZichroinis, so in the end, because of this, Mordechai was taken to Chayviya, Kach Yasu Mecha Shechafi, Kach Yasu Lisha Shemel Chafi Tzikore. So this is the Yeshua that came about in the end, even before the Makkah. So that's Achad Var Me'ela, after the Yeshua was set up, in the Me'ela, then the Eibishter allowed that the Haman should become Mishnah L'melech and should make the Xavier that he was Geyser. So it always bothered me, what's over here to refer Chayim L'makkah? Hypothetically cut out this Maisa Bixen Viserish, and therefore cut out what Esther said, B'Shem Mordechai, and Mevela cut out that Haman is not going to take Mordechai V'choy V'ir, but still at the end of the day, Esther invited Haman and the Melech, and Lemaisa the Melech got very upset with Haman once and twice, and therefore, if the Chavoni gave the Eitzah to hang him, the Melech decided to hang him. So L'choyra, this episode doesn't really help us realize the Yeshua that was in the end. The Chayyur Yeshua was in the end. The Chayyur has nothing to do with this. But what does Rashi mean when he tells us that this was the Refuah Kaidim Lamaka? So I think Rashi Lamar David Daima, we're in the middle of a war, Rahmanu Litzlan, and David should send a Yeshua B'Karev. But imagine if Vladimir Putin would decide to invite the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, to invite him to Moscow, and he would take him to Chayvraia throughout Moscow in his car, and he would pronounce Kachayos Elisha Shamel Chafetz Bikaray, and people would wonder what's going on over here. Maybe and Putin lost it, or maybe he has a change of heart and he doesn't want any more to fight against Ukrainians, maybe he's going to stop the fight, maybe he's going to pull back. So they wouldn't know the meaning of this, and definitely, even if the soldiers would continue, Rahman al-Islam, to fight, they wouldn't put in that effort. The Russians would not put in so much effort because they don't know really what Putin really wants. If he's giving carbid gadol to the leader of the Ukraine, maybe he has a change of heart. So basically, this is what happened over here. L'maisa Achashverosh, it says in the Michtav that it was in the name of Achashverosh also, that he's exeyer of l'hashem da'an l'abed es kol ha'yehudim na'av ha'zok and tafinoshim v'yoyim echad. So l'chayre, he was against the Jews. He wanted that the people of Persia and the other countries should kill out all of the Jews. All of a sudden, he's taking one of the greatest leaders of the Jews, and he's asking Haman to take him to Chayva'ir and pronounce Kach Yosurisha Shamelech Chafetz Bikarai. So either maybe Achashverosh lost it, or maybe he has a change of heart. So maybe we shouldn't fight against the Jews. So this Lamaisa was a Moiridiki Refuah Kaidim Lamaka, because at the end of the day, Achashverosh never took back the first Michtav. He said, you can't take that back. You can make another Michtav. So in the second, so the Michtav that Mordechai V'Esther sent out, they sent out that he didn't have a right to fight back. But they never said that the Goyim don't have a right to fight with the Eden. So they were going to fight. And there was Taka Muhammad, and people got killed in that Muhammad, but it was a Muhammad. So the Maisa, one of the things that strengthened the Eden tzad in that Muhammad and weakened the other tzad was the fact that Achashverosh seemed to maybe lose it or change his mind. Because look what he's doing. He's giving such kavod to Mordechai. So I think the Refuah Kaidim Lamak is not Refuah Kaidim Lamak as far as Achashverosh is concerned, but the Refuah Kaidim Lamak, if you what we just explained, is as far as the Persians are concerned, as far as the people of all of these countries are concerned, it weakened their position to fight against Klal Yisrael. So the Pasuk tells us that everybody was expected to be Kaidim or Mishtachdim Muhammad, and Mordechai wouldn't bow down. Rashi tells us, and that's the reason why Mordechai wouldn't bow down, because Mishtachdim Muhammad made himself into a god. So it's interesting because the Pasuk tells us that this was, whatever they were doing towards Haman was something which Achashverosh had demanded. That so the Melech said he should make himself into a god, and you have to bow down to him. The pastor said also to give him respect, which is definitely the Mishnah Melech, it's respect for Achashverosh. But here Haman went ahead and made himself into a god. So let's understand what this means, that Haman made himself into a god. We find similar to this by Parai, it says in Parashas Ve'era that he used to go to every morning to give out whatever his body had to give out. He used to go to the Nilus because he made himself into a god and he didn't want people to realize that he has these natural needs. So what does it mean Parai thought he created the world? What does it mean he made it? The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, when he speaks about Avodah Zarah, so he says the beginners of Avodah Zarah knew the Eibishter created the world. They knew that the Eibishter put all the things that are in this world, but they didn't believe in Hashgacha Pratis. They didn't believe that everything is totally, every moment, and the Eibishter. The Eibishter is Mechadish, Betuva, Becholim, Tomim, Maisim, Bereshis. And Kaseidu, what any of the Nevroim do, are only doing it because the Eibishter at that very moment is giving them the Kayach, and the command to do whatever they're doing. And this is what it means. And the Nesiva says that Nebuchadnezzar, where he has to bow down to him, or Mordechai, in other words, they believe that they have power, they independent power, which the Eibishter gave them, but therefore you should worship them. But it's not the fact they believe in the sense that they're a god, like they created the world, but being that they're greater than everybody else, they have these powers, and therefore they deserve to be worshipped. And this is what Haman was trying to promote this kfira in the Eivishna, and that he's a person of power. So it's interesting that Lamaisa, you don't find in Al-Hanisim, Shoshana Siakov, and Asheheini, it's always Haman is the one who wanted to kill us. Lamaisa, Achashverosh was a shutif, he agreed with him. Besides that, Chazal tell us that Achashverosh was a bigger sign of Yisrael than Haman, and you see like that, he was immediately in agreement with this idea that Haman came up to destroy Klal Yisrael, and there's no mention on the Taina that there is on Achashverosh. So I was thinking, like we said before, that Leid Melachim V'Sorim is Biyad Hashem, and on the Pasuk, Umart Chayada, on the Pasuk, that Amalek knew everything that was happening. So Rashi tells us that the Malach came and told him. So Haman knew that this was Exerim and Ashamayim. If it was Exerim and Ashamayim, that means the Eibush to put in Achashverosh's heart to agree to such Exerim. So Achashverosh was doing it to Tayus Melech. He was doing it to Tayus Melech. So Amalek Melachim saw him as Biyad Hashem. This was the Hashgacha. So we're not going to have that Taina on Achashverosh. But Haman was doing it for a personal reason. Haman was doing it because Amartchai lo yichav v'lo yishtachavah, u'b'chol zanen u'shavali, and he gave us Amartchai. So this was by him because of his gaiva, because of his personal needs for kavod, he made this gezeira. So this had nothing to do with his position of Mishnah L'melech, so it has nothing to do with the klal of like Melachim Yisrael B'yad Hashem, but like Rav Shimon Schwab said on Clinton, this is something, so to say, on a personal level that he set up, is the male, therefore on Haman is Takatayna, and therefore everything is put on Haman and choose Haman for what he wanted to do over here. In the next capital, which is capital Dalid, so it says that Umarat Chayyad, that's one thing that Umarat Chanu and the Shemaim, they're masking to this, and so he sent for Esther that she should go ahead and do something. And Esther responded that she can't go in just like this because you have to get permission to come inside. The Melech has to, if you come without permission, then the Melech has to at least put out a shasas to sakana for me to go inside. And Mordechai told her, in Hachris Tachrishi, if you're going to not do anything, Rabbich Hotzol Yamal Ayhudim And then it says that Esther was masking to go in, but only on the condition, Lech Kenosis Kol Yehudim, and the Tzumu Olai, all of the Yidin and Shushan should fast. And the maid was then when they fasted, that's when I'll go inside. And they have a Mordechai, and he did this, they did this even though it was Nissan, it was Pesach, he was Geizer Titus. So Rashi tells us, why did this Kneger happen? Rashi tells over here, for two reasons, Shepalcha with Salma, and they were then there, they bowed down to the Salma in the time of Nuchaznetzah, and they were now there from Sudas Achashverosh. So the obvious question is, the Gemara tells us in the Sechtes Megillah that the Talmidim of Shimon Yichai, Yiskub Shimon Yichai, why did this Kazeira happen? He said, what do you think why? They said, because now the Mesudas Achashverosh. So Shimon Yichai said, then the people in Shushan should have been punished. Why does the Kazeira on all of the Medinas of Achashverosh? So they asked him, so what do you say? He said, because of the Pochel of Talmud, in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, they bowed down to the cell of Nebuchadnezzar. So the obvious question is, why did it take so long then to get punished? Pochel HaTzalma in the times of Nebuchadnezzar was a long time ago. And also Rashi tells us it was for both reasons. And really, Shimon Yichai said, the reason of Nan and Mesudas Achashverosh only applies to Shushan, it doesn't apply to all of the other Medinas. Mordechai tells her, Yerlech Matzor Yamil HaYehudim, so if he's convinced Yeshua is going to be a Yeshua, so why does she have to endanger her life? And like the Rashi that we mentioned before, that Haman knew somehow there's going to be a Yeshua over here, because he knew that why should Esther have come to become the queen, but Akapani, we knew there's going to be a Yeshua. So at the end of the day, like he knew that Yeshua is going to come through her, because He saw, he didn't have any other reason why Esther should be taken this today to become the wife of Ahasuerus. So why didn't he promise her? Go, don't be afraid. I promise you that you'll be spared. You'll come out alive. He told the Rebbe Chosoli Amalai, he's convinced to be a Rebbe. He's convinced that she's supposed to be the Shliach. So L'chaim, they should have told you, don't worry, you're going to come out alive. The Lashon HaParsik, that in Le'eis Kazais, what exactly this means, Le'eis Kazais? What's the Kazais? So I think maybe the pshat is, he told this, you're going to have, this is an opportunity, that you've been given an opportunity to go Al Kiddush Hashem, to be Ma'aseh Nefesh and go Al Kiddush Hashem. This is a special time, and Le'eis Kazais, such an opportunity doesn't always come about. Person not allowed in dangerous life, but if it's a shayla to be Ma'aseh Nefesh for a proper reason to save Klal Yisrael, he's allowed to be Ma'aseh Nefesh. The Mameila, therefore, Mordechai told him, Le'eis Kazois, this is a special type of the time, don't lose the time, Le'eis Kazois, Le'eis Kazois, Le'eis that could be where this is your tachlis, this is a special opportunity that you've been given now, and the reason why Klal Yisrael, were punished now is because Nanu Misudis Achashverish, where Esther asked Mazda Val Mazda, the Pasuk says. So Chazal tell us she asked him, is it because they were Kaifer in Zer Kaili Van Vehu, or Val Mazda, or maybe in the Lucha it says Mizer, or Mizer Heim Kesuvim. And Mordechai responded that he told the Eis Kol Asher Karohu, Karohu is the Lashon Mikra. He said that the Maisir Ashpa of Amalek, Ashikorcha by Derech, and Haman, who's a descendant of Amalek, so his Ashpa had that they were able to be nanimous to the Achashverosh. They were able to appreciate the fact that Achashverosh is running the kingdom. It's not the Eibush that's running the kingdom. And the main word, therefore, that was the time on Pochel with Salma. And this, the man in Yisudas Achashverosh showed that Klai Yisrael reached a level that it wasn't merely only Lefanim. It's the main word, therefore, that now they were being punished for that. And that's what Mordechai said, that now you have to go with the Mesiris Nefesh and show that we're dependent totally on the Eibush. So in the next capital, it tells went and invited Achashverosh and Haman to a suda, and Haman went to the first suda, and when he came out from the first suda, he bumped into Yisur Mordechai, and Mordechai didn't bow, and maybe was very upset, and because of that, he came back home and he called together his family, his wife, Chachamim, and he told them how upset he is, and Chalzan, and Mishavali, everything that I have. Rav Ashwe, which Haman was amongst the guy, was the wealthiest person that existed, and he recovered Melachim with Mishnah Melech, and he had Rav Banach, and Chalzan, and Mishavali, when I see this, what should I do about this? And they gave him the answer of making a Elon Gavaya Hamishim Amma, and then he should go over to the king and ask permission to be able to hang Mordechai. So the obvious question is, at the first Suda, Esther realized and recognized that she found favor in Achashverosh's eyes. He told him, At Chatsi Amalchus, I'm ready to do anything that you wish, besides Beis HaMikdash, At Chatsi Amalchus. So why didn't she take that opportunity and ask what she had? Why did she wait for the next day? Chofetz Chaim used to give a marshal to the Indian to be mitzapel Yeshua, supposed to wait for a Mashiach to come. One of the Yud Gimelikim, so he said, how are we supposed to wait? What does it mean, the Lashon Tzipui, to mitzapel Yeshua? He said, it was in the time of the Tsar, it was the Gzeru of the Kantanistan. Rachman was fun. They took children, young children, they could have been way below Bar Mitzvah, and they were enlisted in the Russian army for 25 years. If they came back alive, Yiddishkeit, B'derech Klal, was lost. That the Tafsis, they didn't know anything much about Yiddishkeit. They couldn't learn about Yiddishkeit. It was a Chol B'Noyde, this Gzeru. So there was a child from an Almana, an only child, who was taken, Rahman's son, by the Tsar to the Russian army. And 25 years passed, she hadn't heard from him in anything. And she gets a letter in the mail on the right-hand corner. It says, Baruch Hashem, that he's returning home, and this and this day, and this and this station, he'll get off, and he's asking his mother if maybe she would do the favor and come to greet him and meet him by the train station. So she was able to see from between the lines that he remained not only alive physically, but he remained blind spiritually. I remained Alech, a Tayyudika person. So she was ecstatic. Baruch Hashem, he's alive and he's a Alech Hayid. She definitely went out early in the morning. The train was supposed to arrive at 12 o'clock. She was in the station ready by 9, 10 o'clock, and she waited for the train. Train finally pulled into the station, and she hears before that the engine making its noise. She hears the one who's running the train pulling the whistle, and she's waiting with anticipation, and all the people will come out of the train, and there's nobody that seems to resemble her son. So there's one person who comes out and tells her, I see you waiting, looking for somebody. She says, yes, she had a son who was in the room. Oh, I saw. As the doors were closing, a someone came who seemed to be like a soldier. That's probably your son. He'll probably come on the next train. The next train was about 6 hours later. She waited in the station for another 6 hours. Finally, after 6 hours passed, she hears the noise of the engine, she hears the whistle, and finally the train pulls into the station, and the doors open up, and lo and behold, the first one to come out is someone that resembles the son. She runs over, and they hug each other, and they kiss each other. You can imagine how many tears were spilled by this emotional meeting. So the Chofetz Chaim used to say, Medavartin of Biyat HaMashiach, Azeviyeni Yidin HaGavat Mishneim Ban and the Tveta. We have to wait for Mashiach to come, like this lady waited between one train and the next. All her hopes were built up, then there was disappointment, and then once again they were built up, so it was even much more than originally. The emotions that came about in the end were not shach. So Esther wanted to make sure that when Haman is ready to listen to her request, that he's emotionally all built up. His emotion built up the first day, what she's going to ask me, he offered to do for that. She said, no, tomorrow I'm going to tell it to you. So this is why Esther waited until the second day. So in Kapitel Vav, it tells us about the Lider that Achashverosh wasn't able to sleep. He asked him to read from his Sefer HaZichronos, and he read about the fact that Mordechai was not rewarded. Rashi tells us the reason why he couldn't sleep was because he was nervous nobody's coming forward, and maybe somebody's planning something, maybe Esther is planning something against him, and nobody's ready to let him know about this, maybe because they don't feel they get appreciated for that. So in the Sefer HaZichronos, Yitzhak found that Mordechai was never given anything to express his appreciation. So when Haman came, so Achashverosh asked who it was Haman, and he asked Haman, what would you suggest to give to someone who I would like to show my appreciation? He gave a suggestion, and he told Haman that Haman should be the one who should do it. So first of all, what's up with Haman? Why did Haman have to be the one to do it? So I think, first of all, one of the reasons that he felt he had to do this for Mordechai was because Mordechai is the one that saved his life originally. Maybe he knows something because I didn't reward him. He's not coming forward. Besides that, Mordechai is a Yehudi. So maybe other Yehudim know, even if Mordechai doesn't know, is the Meila, if I'll give cover to Mordechai, the Meila, they'll come forward. The flat. If I do it to Haman, who's the Baal HaGzeira, like this, they're upset with me maybe because of the Gzeira last Mubarak. But now, like we said before, the four Kaidu Lamaka, maybe they'll see that I have second thoughts about that. But the fact that I'm giving this cover to Mordechai is maybe therefore the Earth Haman should be the one to do this. So at the second Suda, it tells us what Esther was Megala, who she was, where she comes from. And how Chazoyna said in the end that Haman made an eighth to hang Mordechai, and in the end Achashverosh was all upset, and he said to Lua Love they should hang him. So it's interesting that Lamaisa, he says, he was the one that was behind this claim, except the Zev. What's he asking over here, Nihu Zev Ezehu, and why is he getting so upset? If he knew about this all along, so the Chayyur, why do you make like he doesn't know from anything? And why was he so upset about it? So I think it's true that he was about in his Torah, but he didn't realize what Jews were all about. When he reminded himself what Mordechai did to him, this is the way Yidden behaves, this is what Yidden were all about. So he realized that his attitude towards Yidden was wrong. And the Meila, Haman is the one that told him all the negative things about the Eden. The Gemara tells us, like the other Lishna Bisha, like Haman. But now he saw, no, Haman is wrong. The Eden is not such television. Montefiore was a banker, was a wealthy person. And one of the lords in England, he gave him a lot of business. And one time he asked Montefiore to come to him on Shabbos because of a major business deal. And he said, no, it's Shabbos, you can't come. He sent back a message back and forth, back and forth. And finally he said, I'm going to drop all my business with you. If you don't come, this is a major loss for me and it would be a major gain for you. Also, if you would come, in the end he didn't come, but he did go there the next day. And the next day the Lord received him in open arms and he told him that I only did this, I knew you wouldn't come. But there's another Lord who was looking to invest someplace, and I told him to invest in you. And he said, no, he's a Jew. I don't trust the Jew. So I wanted to prove to him how you could trust the Jew. And therefore I did it to give him, to say, you should have a different idea about what Jews are all about. So this is l'maisa what happened over here. In the next kapitel, in kapitel Ches, so it says about the letters that Mordechai and Esther sent out. It says also that before that, she came to Achashverosh to retract the original letters, and he said that we can't, but you can send out other letters that they either allowed to fight back. And it's interesting, which we'll speak about, she didn't go back to Achashverosh right away, and the letters first went out on Chaf Gimel Sivan. And then it says Mordechai was right, went out, all dressed, and the bush machas tchelis b'chur v'atazav g'dula g'doy l'v'sach v'vitz v'agam v'yishish v'nsal v'v'sanech v'yidmoysad v'simcha v'tzas v'yikar. So the question is, why, you might say that didn't happen yet, they didn't have the mechama yet, so it's not such a poshta situation yet. How come it was already v'yishish v'nsal v'sanech v'yidmoysad v'simcha v'tzas v'yikar? How come she didn't go back right away? And how come they didn't send out the letters right away when at the end of the day it says, once they sent out the letters, they were yotzu d'chufam. They made sure that the people who delivered the letters should go very hurriedly. So I think Pasuk Shat, Achashverosh felt by the fact that Haman is hung, and the fact that he gave over Beis Haman to Mordechai v'Esther, by the fact that he made Mordechai, he gave him the Tabas HaMelech, so he showed that he has different feelings towards Eden. He felt that was enough. And at that point, Esther realized if this is what he feels, she can't argue with him about that. So there's no reason you have to go inside and ask him to retract the letters. But after a few months passed, and they realized that it's not such a posh situation, even what Achashverosh did, then she's able to go back and say the facts. It didn't work completely. And maybe she asked the Melech to retract the letters. And in the end, Achashverosh said, I can't retract the letters, but you could send out second letters. Now, the question is, why all of a sudden were they joyous, even though nothing really happened yet? So it says, if the Mordechai came back from when Haman had taken him throughout the city, so it says that Mordechai went back to Shah HaMelech Levushtak, Rashi tells us. He went back to Levushtak. In other words, Mordechai knew what was happening upstairs, and he knew it's not finished yet. We didn't get yet the Mechilas Avinus. The Gzeri did not yet become bottled. And the Yidin recognized that by the fact, even though Mordechai L'chayra was taken, given covered Melachim, but when you see Mordechai went back to Levushtak, obviously the job is not finished yet. But now Mordechai realized and recognized, he found out from Hashemayim that the Gzeir attack is bottled. So Mordechai Yotzim from the Melech, Bilvush Malchus, Tchelis Mechuz, Atezov, Gedoy Levitach, Ibut Vagomen. So now, he's coming home with Levush Tach. Is the issue since all of the Semech? So it's all of the Semech. And La Yehudim, Ha Yisoyed, Vesimcha, Vesasun, Vesasun, Vyikar. So it says in Kapitel Tes, it speaks about the Muhammad, speaks about the Tes, the Haman, were hung, the Mitzvah, Mishlech Manis, Ishtarei, Matanis, the Avyayim, and that the Yantav of Purim is called Al-Shem HaPur. So the obvious question is, the Pur was the Gzeira. Was there how Haman decided when to make his Gzeira? He made it go. Why is this so important that the whole Yantav is called Al-Shem? Now it's time, we're calling it, the Megillah calls it this, the Yantav of Purim. So why should the Yantav of Purim be called Purim? Why should it be called Purim Al-Shem HaPur? What's the Russian Rabin Purim, not Pur? The Malbim says, Haman made two gayolos. First thing that he was holding a nissen, so there's 12 months, so he made a gayol on which of the 12 months, and it landed on the last of the months, the 12th, nissen and Adar. It was Yud Gimel the nissen, so he made a gayol for 30 days, and it came out on the 30th day of Adar, which means the Xavier got pushed off as much as he probably would have liked to implement the Xavier right away. It got pushed off because of the Xavier, because of the gayol all the way to the Gutu Gayolis, all the way to the last month, to the end of the 30 days from where we were holding at the point of the Gairo. Had he not made the Gairo and decided to implement it right away, so Rahman son, it would have happened, because whatever happened afterwards, that the Xavier, which was the Xavier Menashemayim, that the Xavier became Bartel, only became Bartel because of everything that happened, and that the Eden fasted, and that the Eden did Shuvah. If they wouldn't have had the time to do that, if Rahman son, the Xavier wouldn't become Bartel. So therefore, the poor is enabled that Lemaisa, the Xavier should become Bartel. The last capital finishes off that, Vayasim ha-melech ha-chashveyosh ma'asal oz v'yayom, kol ma'isi takfu v'yasim ha-chashim goz mo'ad chai, and the passage tells us that the kol ma'isi takfu v'yasim ha-chashim goz mo'ad chai, shigilu ha-melech ha-lehem tzum, ha-seif ha-div v'yayom l'machim mo'ad v'yaparas. So vayasim ha-melech ha-chashveyosh, the Biskrov says, what is that negaya to tell us that he made now with taxes? So the Biskrov says, you would think that maybe there should be an uprising, a rebellion. Look what Ahasuerus did. Look how many people got killed. So maybe they should be upset with Ahasuerus, and they should revolt against Ahasuerus. Not only did they not revolt against Ahasuerus, Ahasuerus is able to make taxes and was able to collect the taxes, was able to implement the taxes. So that was a mess. And the Megillah concludes, the Chomaisa talk from Rosh Hashanah, Halehem Ksuvim, is like we explained along the way. Whatever it says in the Megillah is Megaya Fas, Lidoiris, to know the voice of Tzchol Lidoiris was recorded, is to know the Hashgacha practice and to be Mechazik ourselves. Historically, you want to know the story, what happened? Chomaisa talk from Rosh Hashanah, Shigilu Amal, Halehem Ksuvim, Sefer Divayam. That you can find in Sefer Divayam. But what's negayah to know the Hashgacha process and the Nissan, that's what's written in the Megillah Esther. The Eibishter should help. We should be zayich. I always say, if you forget Allah Nissan and Birchas HaMazon, so you could say, Rachman Yasul on the Nissan. I, the Gemara says, you're not supposed to be mispal for a Ness. But in the Zman of Nissan, you can be mispal for a Ness. Ayomel Miskoyim V'Nasan. So the obvious question is, it's like Chayt Nisk. If you forget Allah Nissan, you can be mispal for a Ness. If you don't forget, you don't say Rachman. If you remember that you're in the Zman of Nisim, you don't forget, then it's Menasim. The Eibishter will make the Nes, you don't even have to ask for it. If you forget Al HaNisim, that means you're not living with the times, then you need Rachmanis, that the Eibishter should make you Nisim. The Eibishter should help. We should be Zeicha, the Karev, to be Amenu, to Lehudim, Oisrael, Ebisim, Chavisaf, Nikar, Ede, Ebis, Mish, Pashich, Tzikain, Ebis, 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 Ebis